Open with me in your Bibles now to Philippians, the fourth chapter. And these verses will lead into the sermon that we're about to hear. We're going to read Philippians, the fourth chapter, verses 1 to 13. Therefore, my brethren, clearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. In the book of life. Isn't that something? Our names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. One translation says, be self-centered in nothing. But in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of all peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. I know now how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Amen.
Paul is one of my favorite authors. He has written some of the most personal letters to his people. One needs but to note throughout the frequency of the first personal pronoun that he uses. The apostle was writing to a group of friends whom he greatly loved. For the Philippians, Paul had a love relationship. Probably more so than any of the other groups he had. He enjoyed his other groups, but the Philippians were a favorite group. The apostle was writing to a group of friends, and such a letter does not lend itself readily to a systematic outline so much as the apostle who established the church in Philippi. But as their father in Christ, this difference is evident in the salutation that he brings. Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus, the dominant note of this short letter is joy. This is Paul, the more remarkable in view of the fact that Paul was writing from prison. I've enjoyed Paul's writings only in that I sometimes wonder if Paul would have been able to do the writing that he did if he didn't spend much of his time in prison. I sometimes wonder if God didn't allow that to happen, perhaps, so he could slow Paul down long enough to write a good share of the New Testament. He writes in Philippians, the fourth chapter, a text that I find very interesting and I enjoy very much. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I like the way the Living Bible puts it. For I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ, who gives me the strength and power. You have four positive points that Paul brings out in that first two letters. I can. I. Imagination. C. Commitment. A, affirmation, and then N, never give up. Imagination. You know, Ellen White tells us that if we would spend an hour each day thinking about Christ, our lives would be different. Think about it. Imagination. Can you sit and imagine what Christ must be like or what he means to us? I have a little granddaughter. Well, she's not so little anymore. She's, I think, 22 or 23 years old. And when she was just a little thing, we took her on a camping trip to Yellowstone National Park. Now, when you take a little two-year-old to lunch, and she enjoyed salads. Now, children at 2 years old generally don't sit and eat salads. You're lucky if you can get them to eat anything hardly, but salads. But she would sit there, and sometimes she would look off into the distance, and then you knew she was in a world of imagination. She was imagining an animal or something, and she'd get all taken away with that imagination. And as long as the imagination would go, the more she would just get excited about it. Imagination. There's a story of the sparrow flying over a cherry orchard, and it was in the fall, and the cherries were gone. But he spotted this little snail that was crawling up the tree trunk. And he talked to the snail and he said, "You know, there's no cherries up there." But the snail looked back and said, "By the time I get there, there will be." The sparrow asked why. "By the time I get there, there will be." As a child, I always had the goal of wanting to be a pastor. That's what I took at college. That was my goal, to be a pastor, whether it was a singing evangelist, whether it was a pastor or whether it was radio, didn't make any difference, but I had an imagination of doing something for God when I was just a little guy. In our family album, there's pictures of me out in the backyard with my blackboard, my Homburg hat, and I was just giving them what for, to become a friend of Jesus. Confirmation, commitment. An act. Are you committed to Jesus? You know, in the church, we have different ways that we commit our lives to Jesus. We have baptism. That's a way of confirming our relationship and our desire to follow Jesus. The Jewish people have the bar mitzvah, which is quite a program for the young fellows. And they have one for the girls, too. I don't remember what it is, but it's kind of like the bar mitzvah. And they learn and they give themselves to Jesus in their way. Then we have baby dedications. Baby dedications. I still remember the day that Michael and Cherie were both dedicated to Jesus at the La Sierra College Church. That was an important day. And then we have communion, a service that we enjoy and we celebrate here. About every 13 weeks, communion, where we regenerate our thinking and our love for Jesus by partaking in the symbols of his blood and his body. A, affirmation. Something is true. Something is agreeing. I know, Paul said, I know whom I believe. Then there was Joshua, who said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is one thing I'm going to do. I will never give up. Daniel never gave up. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they never gave up. They stayed true to Jesus. You remember the story of Noah. God asked him to build an ark. Now, that had to be a true test, because they didn't have rain. They didn't know rain. It was something unusual. And then God comes to Noah. "Noah, I want you to build me an ark. There's going to be a flood." And for 120 years, he preached this message. Folks, get ready. And so when the time came, He and his family and the animals were the only ones that entered the ark. There is a story of an Englishman. He was short, round. He was a brilliant man of his time. He was invited to preach the alumni message for his alma mater. And on the way, he realized that he forgot. He had written a program for the alma mater, and he forgot and left it at home. So when he got up to speak, he got up and he looked down over his glasses, and he told the students, he said, "Never, never, 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 never give up." And so that's what I say to you and to me today. Never give up. A good friend of mine wrote a piece of music, "Never Give Up," Chuck Fillmore. And I would like to give that to you this morning, because there are days, I know, when you get discouraged, it seems that all hope is gone. But there's only one who can give you hope and courage and strength to carry on. Never give up. Jesus is coming. Never give up. It's the darkest before dawn. Never give up. Jesus is coming. Never give up. Keep holding on. This old world, I know, can't last much longer. And it can't. You look around us and you wonder, how much longer can it go? And sin will soon pass away. But my faith in God simply keeps me growing stronger, for Jesus is coming someday. Never give up. Jesus is coming. It's the darkest just before dawn. Never give up. Jesus is coming. Never give up. Keep holding on. That's my prayer, that each one of us keeps holding on, because Jesus is coming. And I think that it's very close and very soon that we will see him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful today that we have Jesus to look to hang on to know and be a part of our life. And so this morning, I pray that each one of us here will reach out and hold on to our Jesus. Is my prayer. Amen.